Again, I've mentioned that we're in a new series. We have finished our look at the Old Testament prophet Haggai and are headed now back into the New Testament to look at the Apostle Paul's second letter to Timothy. There's something interesting about how it opens. It is the second of the two letters to him. It is a letter written very, very late in the Apostle Paul's ministry. It's the letter in which he says, basically, it's my time to go. It is probably the last of his letters, 2 Timothy. So it's very much the end scope of the Apostle Paul's life on earth and his ministry. But as the letter opens to Timothy, with whom he'd worked for years and years, he makes reference to Timothy's childhood and how that all plays, the history of that plays into the fact that he's a believer. It's an interesting thing to do that late in the program. And I think there is a lesson, even at that point, that the faith in Christ of every true believer has a history of grace that Paul's mentioning here for this Timothy. Every true believer's faith life has a history of grace, and every history of grace involves people who have been faithful to testify to the truth and hope. According to the scripture, God has chosen that people would in fact be his instruments to proclaim his message of grace and of truth and of hope through the gospel. Relationship and caring and love. It so happens that Timothy's grandmother's mentioned, and his mother. There is a history that God brought together in Timothy's life that he should be a believer. And again, I think every history has people in it that God has raised up to testify. So even this early on, I wanted to mention that, and I think we'll mention it a bit more as time goes on. The letters to Timothy from Paul are very, very personal and real and human. It reminds me that we're not dealing with storybook characters here. We're dealing with people, real people. Paul worked with Timothy a lot. I at some point in this series, I want to rehearse just briefly how many church plants Timothy was involved in with Paul or sent by Paul. He's back and forth here and there to be with Paul or work elsewhere. They worked together for a lot of years. And again, this is the end. This is the end of Paul's life here. And Timothy's become very dear to him. He calls him my dear son. And it's his son in the faith, but again, they work together a great deal. In the opening words of today's letter, you'll hear that the very last time they saw one another, there were tears in the farewell. That very well may have been because Timothy wondered whether he'd ever see him again. This is the letter in which Paul talks about his legal case in Rome. He mentions it just briefly, but this is the second imprisonment, not the first one. House arrest for 2 years and a lot of preaching and all of that. This is the second one. This is the one after which he's going to have his head cut off. And he mentions his legal case and some things like that. In their last parting from one another, there were tears. And Paul mentions those. We also realize as we take up this letter that Timothy had ordinary fears and things. There's a place in the book of James where it says, hey, Elijah was a man just like us, and it goes on to make its point. You could make it from Timothy. Timothy was an ordinary human being, just like us, but called upon by God to minister in these ways. But he had fears too. Discouragements, apparently, I think we'll see it as we read. Let's read the first 12 verses of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel, by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it's now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I've believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. I guess that's as far as I was going to read. I just keep going. Get ready to keep going. What do you hear as the basic message that Paul is conveying to this one who is so dear to him, and this one with whom he had worked so much and so long? What do you hear him saying to him, his message to this dear friend and co-worker? I get the impression that Timothy needed a restoration to courage. A restoration to this work that God had assigned him to. Again, Timothy had worked with Paul. He'd worked with him for years and years. But don't you get the sense as you read here that there's some kind of fear brewing in Timothy. Tim, what was that about? Timothy. Timothy, long-standing worker in the kingdom in these church plants, needing to be told, fan the gift into flame. Don't be ashamed to testify. Don't be ashamed of me. It seems that there was some fear brewing in him, some kind of tentative hesitancy about this work. And as Paul wrote to him, I mean, just to condense it, it seems like in this kind of communication and flow, I thank God for you. I long to see you. I think if your faith is genuine, God's work all your life has kindled a genuine faith. I want to stir you up in your ministry. The spirit God gave us is not timidity. It's about power. It's about love. It's about stability. Don't be ashamed to testify about the Lord. Don't be ashamed of me, my wretched imprisonment. I was appointed to teach this gospel and proclaim it. That's why I'm suffering as I am, but I am not ashamed of this. I'm convinced that the hope that I've entrusted in him for my own salvation, my own hope, even though I face death, I'm not ashamed of this. I believe that he's able to keep that for me and keep his word. I won't be disappointed in him in the end. I mean, that's a condensed version of what we just read. but I think it's something like that. Let's go through some of the pieces of this as the Apostle Paul dealt with his, Apostle Paul was mentor to Timothy, his son in the faith. The pieces, I think at first he wants to rehearse in a sense the story of grace in his life and wants Timothy to reflect on it and to take courage in it. All Timothy's life, all his life, he knew of the truth. Now, this is the book, 2 Timothy is the book in which we hear the phrase, from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And he mentions his grandmother, and he mentions his mother. I think he wants to encourage him by that. There is a history of grace that the Lord's been at work in, and the faith kindled in Timothy was in fact genuine. Paul believes it and somehow wants to remind him of it. By the way, when you think of Timothy's grandmother and his mother, think in terms of their being believers before they ever heard of Christ. Does that make sense as I say that? These were women who knew the truth of the Old Testament scriptures and believed. These were believing women. So when the missionaries come through and they tell them that Christ is their Messiah, it's a continuation of existing belief. They were believing women. Again, I mentioned the fact that in this letter he says, from infancy you've known. And they didn't live anywhere near Judea. The hometown of Timothy, there's your Bible quiz. What's Timothy's hometown? It's Lystra. And that's a fair ways. Lystra would be in central southern Turkey, if we want to look at our map today. So from Judea, you have to go up around the Mediterranean Sea and on. It's probably 650 miles, up and around from there inland and deep in there. And these women in his life had believed the word of God and had raised him in it from his infancy. These were believing women that far away from Judea and Jerusalem. Interestingly, Timothy's father was probably not a believer, not in Judaism. And even at this time, probably not, or, you know, if he's still living, not in the Lord Jesus. Probably, I say. And I say that because of the wording in Acts when Timothy is first introduced. We don't actually hear about Timothy until Paul's second missionary journey. So Paul and Barnabas, maybe Mark, had been through some of these towns, had been to Derbe and had been to Iconium and had been to Lystra. The first mention of Timothy in Acts chapter 16 is in conjunction with the second missionary trip where Paul and Silas come back to encourage those churches. And it starts like this. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but his father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. It's that wording and that contrast that leaves the impression that the father was not a believer. I mean, you could make contrast between his father and mother simply because they were different racial backgrounds, right? He was a Greek and she was a Jewish. But at the same time, there is the distinct mention of her faith, his mother's faith, and then just the contrast. Then again, when Paul writes here in 2 Timothy, he mentions his mother's faith, but not his father's faith. Timothy's father was probably not a believer. And I think for those women, his grandmother, his mother, that far away from Judea, to be faithful believers and witnesses of the truth of the word of God, able to make one wise unto salvation in all of Timothy's life, that's something golden in God's grace and in their lives. And they were faithful to it. as Paul seems to allude fairly directly to, that's why Timothy knows the truth, because of their lives and their witness. This passage, it really is very much about his calling, Timothy's calling, to testify about the Lord. But I want to make mention of the testimony of his mother and of his grandmother. Testimony about the Lord. I mean, the Apostle Paul was appointed to it by God. This is your role in the world. He is an apostle with a capital A, and he mentions it. He mentions it at the opening of the letter. He returns to the idea, I was called to this. I was called to this. I'm a teacher. I'm a proclaimer. I'm an apostle. I am, you know, I was assigned to this, and that's why I'm suffering. And he says to Timothy, you were too, in his own way, and he'll say it more later. Here, the exact way he says in his fan into flame, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Your calling, Timothy, is distinct in this life. There's another place elsewhere where it says it was prophesied about him. This is a known commodity. You are gifted of God to proclaim the word. Fan it into flame. Get to it, in a sense. But I do want to mention his mother and his grandmother, because these two were witnesses. These were women testifying to the truth and hope held out in the word of God. And Timothy's authentic faith falls into that story of grace, a history of grace. Every believer has a history behind that of God bringing people into their lives that knew and testified to the authenticity of the truth of the gospel. Every history of grace involves people bearing testimony. And according to Scripture, God chooses to have people be his instruments. In that, then, I want to make application. In whose lives are you called upon to be that light and that testimony? You may not be an apostle. You may not have had prophecies about you, you know, and the laying on of hands and that kind of thing. But neither did Timothy's grandmother, and they were faithful witnesses to the truth. And that's why Timothy knew the truth before Paul ever showed up. So I ask us, in whose lives are you called upon to testify and to hear words like, don't be ashamed to testify? And if you have discouragement in that, and fears and doubts and whatever, the same word comes to you. The whole spirit of this thing that God gave is not a spirit of timidity. It is a spirit of power and of love and of, what does it say, self-discipline? There are a lot of translations of that word. The old King James, you remember what it was? A sound mind. The word actually has to do with prudence, even. And so I might bring it across with the word sound judgment, which would include the self-discipline thing and all of that. But this message about which you are called upon, Timothy was called upon, Paul was called upon, Eunice was called upon, Lois was called upon, to bear faithful testimony. This testimony, in it is a strength. Even if we have these fears, the objective truth of it is that this testimony bears strength in it, an authentic love, and it is a sound. It's sound in every way, sound judgment, sound ways of dealing. We could ask the question about those verses. What is Paul getting at? Is he saying the Spirit God gave? Is he talking about the Holy Spirit himself, that he is the Spirit of power and love and self-discipline? Or does he mean it in another way, as though to say, Well, let's see, where's my translations of that? Can't find the words on the page. Is he talking more about a spirit of courage in you, an attitude of love, and a mind of self-discipline in you? God gave that to you. Well, either way you cut it, God gave it. And that brings the Holy Spirit into it, most definitely. We're studying the Holy Spirit at least these last few weeks in the midweek Bible study. And it is by the Spirit. And it's also the whole atmosphere of the thing. I think that's part of what Paul's getting across here. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline, or a sound mind, sound judgment. The atmosphere of this gospel is that. Timothy, you don't need to be timid about this. Don't be ashamed of this. Testify to this if it comes to the risk of suffering. Timothy was in prison probably before this on one occasion. But it's this message is worthy of that. Timothy would have to access all of that by faith, by believing. And I think it's fascinating. This is a man gifted of God, distinctly, by prophecy, divine gift of God, and he's told to fan it into flame. He's going to have to access that by trust. It is God who can work, but he must trust him as he goes to do it. And I'm learning by this as I read it too, learning by this. I know I am called upon to testify to the gospel. It's a distinct calling for me to testify, but it is yours as well. And sometimes we get weak about that. Sometimes we don't do it with a boldness and a confidence about it. But Paul says the nature of the thing is strength and love and soundness. Don't be ashamed of this. Don't be ashamed of it. And what he's doing is like rehearsing the actual nature of the thing to Timothy to build him back up into it. I think Timothy has got some fears going or something. I think it's fascinating that to encourage Timothy to proclaim the gospel, he preaches the gospel to him. You know, you want, and I make that same application with us. Do you need encouragement to be bolder and not timid about this? Then hear the gospel. Hear the gospel. God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This is the nature of the thing. Did you hear how Paul says it in verse 11? This is the gospel I preach, and I'm not ashamed of this. I'm called upon to do this. I'm not. So he rehearses the gospel to him to encourage him to not be timid about this and not ashamed of it. God saved us, called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his purpose and grace, this grace given us in Jesus Christ before the beginning of time. This is a big gospel. It's been revealed now. Now it's been revealed. Christ has appeared. Paul's an eyewitness. Paul saw Jesus last among the apostles in one sense, but he saw him raised from the dead. Jesus appeared to Paul, raised from the dead. He's been revealed. Jesus Christ has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I think this has everything to do with Paul's soon coming earthly mortality. He's going to have his head cut off. shortly. Very shortly. And he's saying, but I'm not ashamed of this thing, this gospel, because Jesus Christ's coming has brought life and immortality beyond this to light. Ligon Duncan writes about Paul's situation because he's awaiting the arraignment of his sentencing. Paul's been heard once, and now it's sentencing time. It's a sentencing in which he will hear the death penalty pronounced on him. He'll be taken out somewhere on the Appian Way after the sentencing, and he'll be executed. He's been a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ all his life. He's taken the gospel as far as he could go. He longs to go further into Europe, to Spain. He longs to continue building up the churches, establishing them in the truth. And yet, where is he? He's in a dungeon. And I'll reiterate it. This is the last dungeon. His sentence has been heard. This is under Nero, roughly the year 66, 67 A.D., and they're going to haul him out on the road and in a gruesome way cut his head off. And I think that may be part of the issue here. I think the churches might have become discouraged. I hear Paul say it elsewhere. Don't be discouraged about me because of my imprisonment. I think I hear him saying it to Timothy. And I think people were getting discouraged. In less than three more verses, Paul is going to talk about people walking out on him, ashamed of him in his imprisonment. And I think about myself. What if I had worked alongside the Apostle Paul? You work so hard and you plant churches and you work and you work and you work. And what does it come down to in the end? He's just going to be dead, dead, dead. I don't know what I, you know, where would my faith quotient be just then? Would I need encouragement just like this? It seems that Timothy did need that encouragement. Do not be ashamed to testify about the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be worthy of suffering, worthy of imprisonment, worthy of martyrdom. I've been called upon to preach this. I am not ashamed of it because it doesn't matter. In a sense, I'm trying to flesh out the idea, but it doesn't matter if they'd cut my head off. What I've entrusted to Christ in accord with the promise of life. Did you see how the first verse is about the promise of life? I'm an apostle according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. My sentencing, my coming martyrdom, it doesn't matter. It's my time to go. This is the letter where he says it. A little bit later, but he says, my time has come, but I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. And I just think perhaps we need the encouragement to testify. What brings discouragement about the gospel? What kind of discouragement in your life brings discouragement about testimony? I don't feel confident to testify. What brings that in? The Apostle Paul is addressing that, at least in a couple of ways here. To encourage us again, we may bear this message because it is God's power that makes it make a difference in the world. And I know I need that. I know I need that. Our lives are to be all about testimony. Is your life about the business? You think my place in the world, where God's put me, with whom God has connected me, is my life all about bearing witness to this good news? Everything we are and everything we do meant to be about knowing Him, believing Him, rejoicing in Him, proclaiming Him, representing Him, and commending Him to others. So there's the challenge of the first 12 verses. I'm eager to get into 2 Timothy. Let's pray. Lord, we hear the word that your gospel is a message of life, that death itself has been overcome by Jesus Christ. That the spirit you give is not a spirit of timidity. There is strength. There is love. There is soundness in this thing. I pray that you would encourage these very people here and me to go out with a greater confidence, with the joy of a confidence that you have been faithful, and that we may entrust ourselves to you in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.